The scripture reading for this Thanksgiving service is 1 Samuel chapter 7. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said, There we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, and pursued the Philistines, and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in Circah to Bethel, and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Our text for this Thanksgiving sermon is 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. In our journey through the scriptures, we come across stones. And we come across such a stone also here. The stone is given a name, Ebenezer. And there's a story behind this stone. And that story needs to be told. Our theme this morning is the Ebenezer Stone. First, the story. Second, some lessons. The Ebenezer Stone. First, the story, and then some lessons. 20 years is a long time. For 20 years the ark of the Lord has been in Kirjath-Jearim. And for 20 years we have no record of Samuel. Actually, for 3 chapters, we do not hear of Samuel at all. The last time we read of Samuel in this book called Samuel is in chapter 4, verse 1. And there we read that the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now, what happened in between chapters 4 and 7? Well, what happened is Israel sinned. God punished, and God continued to show also His long-suffering kindness to Israel. The history has told us, and in those chapters we read that Israel is defeated by the Philistines. And then Israel, upon being defeated by the Philistines, does something very foolish and sinful. They take the ark of the Lord into battle. Under the direction of ungodly priests, Hophni and Phinehas. And then what happens? Well, then the Philistines again defeat Israel. And they capture the ark. And they take the ark with them back into their own land. But the Lord then punishes the Philistines. And He brings calamity upon them. And so eventually the Philistines, they send the ark of the Lord back to Israel. And then 20 years pass. What is Samuel doing during those 20 years? Still bringing the word of the Lord to Israel. But there is not much fruit. Until the Lord makes the people of Israel miss Him. And then we see that the Lord, that there is some fruit upon Samuel's preaching after all. For we read of the people of Israel coming to long after the Lord. And they begin to weep. And because they realize that they are guilty, you see. And they realize that they have no right that the Lord would reveal Himself in His kindness and remember them in His mercy. There you have the beginning of conversion. When you begin to miss the Lord. But repentance doesn't stop with tears. Repentance doesn't stop with lamentation. And so Samuel, he continues to preach because they have not yet arrived. And Samuel calls Israel to a wholehearted turning back to the Lord. And that means then that they need to break with idols and they need to break with sin. For you see, the Lord must be served alone. And that's what Samuel says in verse 3. If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And when there seemed to be this turning from idols back to the Lord, and the repentance of Israel seemed to be sincere, then Samuel calls the people together to renew the covenant with the Lord. He calls them together for a solemn assembly. And the people of Israel, they gather together in Mizpah and they engage in fasting. And in humiliation, and in confession, and their confession is simply this, we have sinned. They've come together not as soldiers, but they have come together as penitent. They are unarmed, they are brokenhearted, and they are gathered together in Mizpah. And now where there are broken hearts, Satan also stirs up opposition. So he does also here. For the Philistines, they hear about this gathering in Mizpah, and they call their army up, and they go to Mizpah, for you see, this gathering of the Israelites to these Philistines was not about worship to God, but about war against them. These Philistines did not know that their gathering there had to do with repentance and not revolt. And now what? What can Israel do now? Well, they asked Samuel to pray for them. Verse 8, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." The people are helpless, and they know that. And they don't have any weapons of war with them. The Philistines that are coming to them, they do have weapons. Not Israel. Their only weapon is folded hands. Prayer. And they know that they are sinful. And they've added guilt to guilt with their idolatry and with their sin. And so they ask Samuel to lay his hand upon the throne of grace for them. And what does Samuel do? He begins to pray. No. He doesn't turn to prayer. He takes a lamb, a sucking lamb, a lamb of about 8 days old, and he prepares an altar. And that lamb is helpless, and Samuel offers that lamb up for a burnt offering, whole. Now, why is Samuel doing this? Why doesn't he immediately turn to prayer? Well, how else can God hear sinners? How else can He turn His ears and listen to sinners? You see, Israel needs their sin covered. There needs to be a ground to call upon God's name. There needs to be a ground for God in heaven to hear their prayer. For the Lord cannot hear Israel as she is of herself. No matter how earnest she would be in prayer, no matter how long she would pray, the Lord cannot hear for any reason in Israel. Sin stands in the way. That sin cannot be removed by earnest prayer. And that sin cannot be removed by long prayer. And that sin cannot be removed by tears. There must be a sacrifice to cover sin. And so the sacrifice is offered. And so when there is a sacrifice also for sin, then sin can be atoned. And then sin no longer stands in the way. Then sin no longer is a separation. Then the Lord can look upon Israel in His favor. And He can hear them. And He can help them. But still the Philistines are coming. And the Lord knows that they are coming, and so Samuel, he cries to the Lord. And what is it that Samuel cried? Well, we are not told here, but surely it would be something like this. Lord, help. Lord, save. Lord, have mercy upon us. But this much is clear. The Lord heard Israel. He heard Samuel. And when you see this, then you see a desperate people. They're unable to protect themselves, but they cast themselves completely upon the Lord. And those who cast themselves upon the Lord, those who cast themselves upon the Lord's mercy and the Lord's might and the Lord for deliverance, they are not put to shame. And what does the Lord do? The Lord blasts the Philistines with thunder. And He throws them into confusion. And that is something of which the mother of Samuel had also sung about in 1 Samuel 2. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, she sang, and out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. What is it that the Lord does? Simply put, the Lord will send salvation. And then Samuel sets up a monument between Mizpah and another place that is well known to the people of that day, Shen. He set up that monument, a stone, and called it Ebenezer, which means stone of help. Eben, stone. Ezer, help. Now, what is a stone, boys and girls? A stone is something that is hard. It's inanimate. It's not a living thing. A stone doesn't have a mouth, does it? No, but this stone does have a message. And so that stone speaks. And it says, help. Easer. Help. A stone was set up. And now stones set up like this stone was an important thing for an Israelite. For there was always a story behind that stone. And that story had to be told. Like that time when Jacob was at Bethel. The Lord appeared to him while he was under the open heaven, and there was that ladder with angels ascending and descending thereon. And then in the morning Jacob took a stone that he had for his pillow, and he set that stone up for a pillar. He poured oil upon it, and he called it Bethel, house of God, because the presence of the Lord was known. There was a story behind it. Or think of another time when the people of Israel crossed the river Jordan. In Joshua 4 verse 20 to 24, then they crossed that river on dry ground. The Lord had made a path. And what Israel had done is they had set up 12 stones and they had placed those 12 stones in the river. And then so when children of Israel would come along the Jordan, and there they would be walking with their dad or their mum, then the children would ask their dad or mum, what do these stones mean? And then these parents were to tell them the story. Or you can think of one other stone, which Joshua set up at the end of the book of Joshua, where he and the people of Israel renewed the covenant of Shechem. And then also a stone was set up. Stones, they were raised up. And they were pointing to what the Lord had done. It was a visible token to remind the people of the dealings of the Lord. And that story needed to be told. If it was not told, then the next generation would not remember. Now here also a stone is raised up, and it is given a name, Ebenezer. And the story that was behind this stone was that help was given. Help was given. And the people who would pass by this stone passing between Mizpah and Shen, they would see this stone, and then they would remember, yes, Ebenezer, stone of help. And they would remember what had happened, and what Samuel had also said, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And what encouragement this stone must have given to those people who passed by Ebenezer and they were in need. Suppose a family of Israel is passing by this stone and they are in distress. It would be an encouragement, wouldn't it, to call upon me in the day of trouble. It would be an encouragement to those in distress that the Lord has shown His faithfulness in the past, and He is still faithful and willing to help in time of need. Now, what is it that Samuel is thinking of when he sets up this stone? What is it that Samuel is thinking of when he sets up this stone and he calls it Ebenezer? Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. What is it that Samuel is referring to? How did the Lord help? When is it, Samuel, that you are referring to? Well, you say that's a simple question and that has a simple answer. Of course, the Samuel is thinking of this very time where the Lord gave deliverance from the Philistines. Just moments ago, He thundered from heaven and He threw the Philistines into confusion and He gave outcome and deliverance to Israel. That's what He's thinking of. But is he thinking of this deliverance that just happened and that deliverance only? Is Samuel not thinking of more? I mean, Samuel does not say, "Now the Lord hath helped us." It's true. But he says, "Up till now, hitherto, the Lord has helped us." And so don't you think that in Samuel's mind there is a chain? You know what a chain is, don't you, boys and girls? You've seen it. Something of metal that has some links. One link connected to another link. They're linked together. And now in Samuel's mind, there's a chain of mercies that he is thinking back on. A long chain of mercies. And he is thinking from moment to moment and from generation to generation. And is he not including the time when Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees? And that God led him. And is he not thinking of Jacob, who was led from Bethel to Peniel? Hitherto the Lord hath helped us. Each step that the patriarchs took, hitherto the Lord hath helped us. And also Israel, when Israel was in Egypt for 400 years, and then being delivered from bondage by the Lord stretched out in mighty hand, is he not thinking of that too? Hitherto the Lord hath helped us. And how the Lord preserved Israel in the wilderness, and he brought them into the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. And since Joshua's days, how the Lord has kept Israel, also in the days of Judges, and he has remembered Israel in mercy. Days of deliverance, hitherto. Days of mercy, hitherto. Hitherto the Lord hath helped us. But is he thinking of something else too? We have spoken of he has helped now, brought deliverance, and he has brought deliverance and he has shown mercy in the past. But is Samuel not thinking of something more yet? I mean, where do these three chapters, Samuel 4, 5, and 6, where do they fit into all of this? When Israel was defeated by the Philistines, and they were defeated again by the Philistines, and calamity was brought upon the Israelites. Where do those days fit in? Days of affliction, days of darkness. Don't you think that Samuel included those days too? I think so. Because then the Lord was still helping his people. For then the Lord was helping Israel know their sin. Then is the Lord was helping Israel know themselves, helping them see their misery and their depravity, helping them to see the bitter fruit of sin. And is that not included in the word hitherto? Some of the things that we could stand still by have come in the forms of mercy, but many have come also in the forms of chastening. But then the Lord was still teaching Israel. And then the Lord was still helping Israel. And then the Lord was still present. And it was an important thing for the generations to see that the Lord has helped them hitherto in mercies and deliverance and in chastening. Now let's look at some lessons from this account. And the first lesson is this: the importance of commemorating the goodness of the Lord. The importance of commemorating the goodness of the Lord. It is important to remember God's goodness. After all, we are prone to forget it. We are prone to take His goodness for granted. We are prone to rush past all His tokens of mercy. And so it is good that we have days commemorating God's goodness. And today is such a day, Thanksgiving Day. And then when we think, especially on the past season of work and sowing and harvest, has not the Lord helped? Has he not enabled the farmer to go to his field and to sow the seed into the ground? And now when the farmer goes to his field, then there are more than just a few stalks of corn in the field. There is plenty, a rich harvest. And has not the Lord helped the farmer in what he has done? Or the carpenter in his work? Has he not strengthened them to do their task? Hitherto the Lord has helped us. Or the mother in her home. And also the mother in the midst of all the weariness that comes with the special place that she has in the home. Is it not so, mothers, hitherto the Lord has helped? Or the students in the school? Must you not say, dear children and dear young people, hitherto the Lord has helped? Or when we think of the Christian pilgrimage and we think of God's people on that pilgrimage, how is it, dear child of God, that you have come to the place on that pilgrimage? Why are you where you are? Is it not because the Lord has helped you hitherto? And what are the deliverances that He has brought to you at various times? How He has borne with you in all your weaknesses. And how He has borne with you when you have strayed away from Him. And how He has remembered you. And how He has given you food and drink for the soul in the pilgrimage. Must we not say, hitherto the Lord has helped us? What shall we do, dear congregation? Shall we not open our diaries? The diaries that may never have been written. But the diaries of this past season that, if they could be written, they would be long chains commemorating what the Lord has done. Has He not been good? Hitherto the Lord has helped us. And what is all included in what the Lord has helped with? Well, His mercy, but also His chastening hand. Also when the Lord brought you through fire. And water, has He not hope in you? Oh, forget not all His benefits. You cry to the Lord for relief. You cry to the Lord in the midst of your agony. And He gave some relief. You were in need. You cried. And did He not help? Join heart and voice in marking His goodness. Oh, I know that there have been different times, there have been good times, but there have also been difficult times. But has not the Lord carried you through those times too? There have been times of trial and pain, but who upheld you? There were times when you were weak, but did not God give you strength? There were times that you wondered, will I even finish out the day? Who enabled you to finish out the day? There were times when it was dark on your path. But who was it that shone a little bit of light upon the path? There were times when others forsook you, perhaps. But then, who came and showed His nearness? Who came and said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? There were times when you wondered, how is it that I can take another step? Then did He not carry you? Oh, has He not given us abundantly more than we could ask or think? Oh, I'm reminded of the story of Sally Wesley. Sally was the wife of Charles Wesley. Charles wrote, you know, he was a Methodist preacher, and he wrote that many hymns, one of them, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Sally, she was a mother of 8 children. 5 children died in early childhood. And she herself suffered much. She suffered from smallpox, and that smallpox disfigured her so that friends who came to see her did not even recognize her. But she wrote in a letter to her husband, she said, nothing is worth living for but to enjoy God and glorify Him forever. And she could say in the midst of all those times that the Lord is righteous in all His ways and in all His works, Ebenezer, and she also could long for heaven. But I hope there is another time in your life this past season, a time of learning of your sinfulness, of your sinful heart, of your pollution, of your guilt, learning of your misery. Has the Lord also taught you that this past season? So that you had to fly out to the Lord Jesus Christ? And has the Lord not also brought you further? For when He teaches of sin, then He also teaches the gospel. And He comes with the gospel. And has the Lord not come with that gospel? And has He not come with His promises? And has He not come also with the promise of His Holy Spirit to lead and to guide you? Shall we then not commemorate His goodness? Is this remembrance not important? Oh, it is so important. Shall we not confess His name? Shall we not stand still and remember His deeds? And is it not important that His deeds be told from generation to generation? And is it not important that each generation that is here stand still and mark the goodness of the Lord? For the stone has to be raised. That means that it needs to be told to children. And shall we not then speak of His goodness one to another? Psalm 145 tells us, one generation shall praise Thy works to another and shall declare Thy mighty acts. The story of God's goodness needs to be told. And if the story of His goodness is not told to the next generation, then they will not remember the story. And they will not remember God. And they will go lost. And I think that that is the case for many in Canada who perhaps a generation ago were yet in church. And they gathered together on Thanksgiving days. And they had big feasts, lavish meals. But the father and the mother said nothing of the goodness of the Lord. And the next generation forgot about the goodness of the Lord. And then it is not only good to commemorate what He has done in the life of Abram and what He has done in the life of Isaac and of Jacob and of Samuel and of David and of Paul, but it is good that we say, hitherto the Lord has helped us. Not hitherto the Lord has helped them, that too, but us. And has the Lord not shown His general kindness? Has the Lord not shown gospel mercies to us? Has the Lord not shown something of His goodness? Has He not given you another breath? Oh, if it is right, you must say, I need not erect a stone. I am a monument of God's mercy. I am a monument of God's help. I am a monument of God's care. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, we surely had been swallowed up. Blessed be the Lord who made us not their prey. Our only help is in Jehovah's name. We must commemorate the goodness of the Lord. And today is such a day. Let it also be then a day of commemoration. There's a second lesson. And that's this. The focus of the stone of Ebenezer is the Lord. There is also a commemorating that does not focus on the Lord, that focuses on man, that focuses on a nation, that focuses on military might, that focuses on man's cleverness, on what he has done, his accomplishments. And then man may be in their homes today and they may say everything went well this past season and work has gone good and provisions are good and food is on the table and look, today we have even a special meal. And still we can keep our mouths shut and not say, the Lord hath helped us. Or it can be that we say it, but we say it without a heart to God. The Lord is not in focus. But here when we listen to Samuel, then Samuel points us to the Lord. And he says it explicitly. Hitherto the Lord. He and the people of Israel do not say, "Hitherto we have been helped," or "Hitherto our sword has delivered us," or "Hitherto Samuel has encouraged us." No, it's not our provisions, it's not our deliverance. It comes only from the Lord. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. And then what do you need? What you need is eyes to see the Lord. You need to see His hand of mercy by the Holy Spirit. You need to see His hand of deliverance, also His hand of chastening. You need to see His hand. Do you see His hand? Do you have the Lord in focus? What will we focus on today? Will it be the Lord? And what if people don't focus on the Lord? Well, then they must be blind. Is that not so? What if Israel here did not focus on the Lord? They would have been blind. And is that not so for many? Is it not so obvious that it is God who has brought deliverance to Israel? There they were without any weapons. There they were scared. There they were sinful. And the Lord thundered from heaven upon the enemy and He discomfited them. And not to see the Lord would mean to be blind, spiritually blind. Are there many who are blind like this? I think so. Romans 1 verse 21 tells us that because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And what about us? Who has led us this far? Is it not the Lord? Or can you deny that the Lord has helped you? I trust there is not one here who will deny that the Lord has helped thus far. But then, is it not a strange thing if the Lord is not in focus? Is it not a strange thing if you would say you do not love Him? Is it not a strange thing if you do not have a heart that praises Him? It's a strange thing if parents were to feed their son and to care for their son and to clothe their son and for the son to say, "I don't love my dad and mom." That's a strange thing. And what happens then? Or what might happen then? Well, the Lord Jesus says that those who do not worship Him, that there is a message from the stones. You have a mouth, but if you do not use that mouth, and if you do not use your heart to praise the Lord, then the Lord says there are stones. In fact, He says that if these would hold their peace, praising Him, then the stones would cry out. Is that how it is with you? And because of your heart and because of your life, the Lord says, He is silent. He doesn't focus on me. In His stead, the stones will cry out. And the stones will cry out also on the day of judgment against a people who would not serve Him, who would not bow before Him, who in the tokens of the Lord's goodness and His mercies, and in the tokens that we could walk today past this Ebenezer stone, and we could stand still at this stone, and we could hear the message of the stone, that they would refuse to bow before Him, then the stone will cry out against you. What will happen to those who continue in their blindness? Sooner or later, the Lord will leave them to their folly. Then it will be evident that they have sinned the sin against the Holy Spirit. And they will, like Nebuchadnezzar, who one moment said, "Behold this great Babylon that I have builded." And he did not worship the Lord. He did not recognize the Lord. And he became a beast. How small is man, yet how proud he is. But there are also those who do focus on the Lord, like Samuel, And like all the true people of God, they know that they have to turn their focus away from themselves, because in themselves there is nothing but sin. And they need to depend upon the Lord. The Lord. Ebenezer. The Lord. And then there's a third lesson yet. And that's this. The wonder of the Lord being Ebenezer. The wonder of the Lord being Ebenezer. Isn't this a wonder? That the Lord helps. For who does He help? Sinners. Think of these Israelites. They were idolaters. But think about us. No different by nature. Sinners. God shows His goodness to sinners. To rebels. Is that not so, dear people of God, that the Lord shows His goodness while we show disobedience? And He shows His goodness when our hearts are lukewarm. And He shows His goodness when our faith isn't burning brightly. And He shows His goodness when our hope is dim and when our love to God is shameful. Think of the worms. Would we help worms if they cry to us for help? Oh, we may help worms, but then worms have never sinned against us. But we have sinned against the Lord, and still the Lord upholds us. Still the Lord helps us. Oh, think of where you would be without the Lord. Think of what we are as in ourselves, and are we not surprised that it is said of the Lord that He helps? Are we not surprised that His mercy, is this not a wonder to us? Stone preaches help, and it is encouragement for those who are in need of help. For who is it that He helps? He helps sinners. Sinners. And who is it that helps? God Almighty helps. This is not about self-help. It's about God help. Ebenezer, the Lord, hath helped. And how is it that He helps? He gives deliverance. Is there a soul here who says, I need deliverance from sin? And we point you unto the Lord. He is the one that gives deliverance. Still, He saves a people. The Lord will send salvation. Has that ever been a wonder to you? Do you need the Lord to be your helper? Do you need Him from day to day? Many don't. They depend on themselves. For this life at least, and for eternity, well, they can do without God. At least they don't know of crying to the Lord, Lord, help me! Lord, save me! Lord, send deliverance! But now the Lord, He helps. How can He help? How can He help a rebel people, a needy people? He cannot help them because of the earnestness of their cries or because of the length of their prayers. The text points to a sacrifice, a lamb, which Samuel brought. There we have the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also brought an offering. He didn't bring a sucking lamb. Hebrews 9 verse 14 says that Christ offered Himself up without spot as the sacrifice. And because He is the Lamb of God who was consumed on the altar of Golgotha, He went to that pit and to that mountain of skulls. There He was without help. In the darkest night that ever was on the face of this earth, and no one came to His side. God forsook Him. Man forsook Him. He was all alone. Oh, what a dark night that was for the Son of God. He without help, even the help of His Father in heaven. Why? So that sinners could receive divine help, gracious help, God's saving help on the basis of His blood. And because he has shed his blood, he is also the intercessor for a people that need his help. Oh, this is a wonder. And eternity will proclaim that wonder forever. And so we must think of another wonder, dear child of God. If he has helped you hitherto, will he not also help you in the time to come? What lies before us? Difficult times? Trying times? The assaults of Satan? Weakness of faith? Straying from the Lord? In life, in death, in hope, in doubt, will it not be this, hitherto the Lord hath helped me? You see, the text doesn't say, hitherto and no more. Hitherto, but not in the future. Text doesn't say, this is the last time the Lord will help. No, it says hitherto. And that means up till now. And that also gives hope for what lies ahead. Will he not help in the future too? Has he not gone to prepare a place? Will he not come again to receive his people unto himself? And then it will be through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and will be grace that lead me home. And then it will end in eternity. And then, once and for all, the refrain of God's people will be, Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord hath helped us. Amen.